Right now, Clarence, our guest has arrived.
My man, Joe Corey, we've been talking sports, talking Cowboys contract that's dominated the mindset of the Metroplex after DeMarcus Lawrence got his big deal, and now we're set up for Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper to get their big deals and what they should be paid and what they should be paid. Joe Corey, certainly the former agent, now covers the business side of sports and delves into contracts for CBS Sports. Man, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How much did Dak get? I mean, there's so much talk in the Metroplex, but he doesn't deserve this, he doesn't deserve that, he hasn't proven this. What's the market for Dak, and what kind of contract do you see the Cowboys signing him to?
I see him playing out his rookie contract, actually. I think this is a hard deal to do, particularly if Stephen Jones was serious about his Dak's contract needs to be team-friendly. Those are words which makes an agent cringe. Now, he's represented by Todd France, who also represents Joey Bosa and Aaron Donald. So team-friendly and Todd France aren't words which usually are used in the same sentence. And if I'm Todd France, I'm hanging the Cowboys on some words Jerry Jones said inexplicably in the middle of last season. For some reason, Jerry said he wouldn't trade Dak Prescott if he could get two first-round picks, including the first overall pick in this year's draft. When I was an agent, anytime an owner, coach, front office executive said something very favorable about my client, I would record it, I'd print it out, put it in a file, and it was coming up in a negotiation. What's the compensation for a non-exclusive franchise tag? Two first-round picks. So guess where Todd France probably said we start? We start playing the franchise tag game, and if you're not willing to start any negotiations or discussions there, we're not having a serious conversation. And that number is probably going to be $27 million next year, or around that, the non-exclusive franchise tag number four quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I look at it. And you look at that, and we still haven't seen the Russell Wilson contract. If that goes through, that's only going to make that franchise tag go up. I think that when Steven's talking team-friendly, they're just talking about the structure of the deal. I think that they understand, at least my conversation with them, they understand that they're going to pay market value for Dak Prescott. They truly understand that. And everything they said, and you talked about it, they've been glowing about him being their guy and what he means to the team. You know, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle when it comes to negotiations because they've said so much in Dak's favor that it has to be brought about agent.
Yeah, because that was the first thing I said when I saw that. I was like, ooh, that's one of those statements that agents do cartwheels over, open a bottle of champagne. But I love how people say he hasn't done anything. Well, there was a quarterback last year who started, what, 5-6 games and briefly became the highest paid player in the league, Jimmy Garoppolo, still had to warp his knee last year, and that averaged $27.5 million a year. And it has a very player team-friendly structure, not as much as most San Francisco deals, but their guarantees vest in a manner that most don't. Quarterback deals typically at the highest level have at least the first 2 years fully guaranteed at signing, maybe part of the third. And if the third isn't fully guaranteed at signing, it's going to vest at the beginning of the second year. So if Stephen Jones is talking about a structure which isn't along those lines, and even DeMarcus Lawrence had the first 2 years fully guaranteed at signing, you can't do something for your pass rusher and not do it for your quarterback.
Talking to Joel Corey here, former agent here on 103.3 FM ESPN. And you said you think that this is going to be a tough negotiation, but based on how we see the salary cap, it's always going up. Quarterbacks are always going to be making that top-tier money. Is there not way more incentive knowing that for the Cowboys? And the mindset here is that they are believers in Dak Prescott and they are ready to buy in completely on him. Is there not a ton of incentive on the Cowboys to get this deal done now as opposed to waiting another year to where you possibly have two or three more quarterbacks getting historic deals and Dak is going to want that same money?
Yeah, he's not Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's going to be the highest paid player in the league, so the agent's going to try to use it, and the agent will go, the rising tide lifts all boats, trickle-down effect, but we're talking apples and oranges between those two. The two that could impact him more are guys in his draft class. But the Eagles have talked about getting something done with Carson Wentz. To me, that's a harder deal to do because he can't stay healthy. And the Rams have a history of doing first-round picks after 3 years. Todd Gurley was the only one in his draft class to get done. They inexplicably paid Tavon Austin a lot of money. So Jared Goff could get a new deal, and that could have more of a direct impact on Dak than anything else. But he did say something at some point, either late in the season, early offseason. He said he's not doing the hometown discount thing. So you've got that tension in there as well, which is why I think it's not going to be the easiest deal to do. Usually what you count on with a rookie who's coming off of going into his final year, wasn't a first-round pick, that for NFL standards, not real-world standards, they haven't made a ton of NFL money. And if you throw something out there that isn't too onerous structurally from a team standpoint, team-friendly, usually the player will bite, even if it isn't what he wants, because he can achieve lifetime security with the deal. We'll see what that looks like with the offer at that point. If Dak just decides, you know what, I'll take it now, call it a day, and then next time, do like Russell Wilson, drive a harder bargain like he is this time.
Well, the thing about Dak and why he necessarily doesn't have to bite at the best deal or the first best deal, he's gotten so much money in endorsements. He's gotten a lot of endorsements that has helped make up for some of that lost wages, I guess you can say, because he was a fourth round pick, and he doesn't have to do that. And again, you talked about CAA. It's the reason why he changed from his small town agent from Shreveport to CAA last year, because he was anticipating a big deal. So I don't necessarily see him, you know, doing that. And the thing about it is that Stephen Jones is also on the record saying the reason why they want to do the contract now is because Dak deserves it. You know, they think that Dak deserves and has outplayed his deal, and they want to do it. But switching gears for 1 minute, Amari Cooper, you know, where do you see him and what kind of deal can he get? I think they should do Amari before Dak if they're going to do it this offseason. The Cowboys have said they want to do both this offseason.
Well, you didn't give up a first-round pick for him to be a short-term rental, and you have to get at least one of these two done this year. Although you do have, in the last year of the CBA 2020, a franchise tag and a transition tag available, so let's hypothetically say you don't get either done. Dak gets the franchise tag. Amari gets a transition tag. That's going to do nothing for you except you can match whatever offer. And if a team really wants Amari Cooper, then they could structure a deal where it'd be painful for Dallas to match it. So there's a deal done yesterday, which is going to impact those negotiations. Adam Thielen had 2 years left, did a deal averaging $16 million per year, which is what I always thought was the minimum to get something done. And the reason I say that is you guys were chasing Sammy Watkins a couple of years ago. And since you were chasing Sammy Watkins and wisely decided not to overpay him like
the Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs did, that deal, where it is, will come into play. Because if Sammy Watkins is worth $16 million per year, Amari Cooper is always outperformed Sammy Watkins.
Always.
Then you're going to have to pay him more than Sammy Watkins. Joel Siegel's the agent. That's Khalil Mack's guy. Another guy who is no pushover. He's going to be looking at it from the standpoint, I could play for $14 million this year. Then you'd have to franchise or transition me for $18 million. Most likely it's going to be in that neighborhood. Then over $21 million. So if we go that game, hey, I'm going to be averaging close to $20 million per year on two franchise tags. I don't necessarily think you got to get quite there, but you're going to be more than Sammy Watkins. You may have to approach the Odell Beckham Jr. territory of $18 million per year, but that's not going to be a cheap one either.
Talking to Joel Corey here, former sports agent, now does good work that you can find at CBSSports.com, talking about Cowboys contracts here. Just one last thing on the Dak negotiation. If you were advising Dak hypothetically, are you advising guys to lean more toward a Kirk Cousins deal, to where you've got the fully guaranteed shorter term chance that you're going to be able to cash in again in a few years, as opposed to the longer term deal that's got the higher number, maybe higher guaranteed money, but lower per year? and it's going to have that out in the middle of it somewhere to where the team can cut you to cut their losses and can move on from you, and you can't really control any of that.
Well, most quarterbacks play out their deal, which is why some people would say you don't need it to be guaranteed. But I'd want the best of both worlds. I'd want the higher average on the Kirk Cousins model, but if I couldn't get that, I'd potentially take a little less, not a whole lot less, to go the Kirk Cousins way, because there's one thing we know. Quarterback salaries are going to continue to escalate. At some point in time, Patrick Mahomes gets done, and whatever is the standard, he's going to top that pretty easily. There's a lot of unknown variables out there. The CBA expires after the 2020 season. So the players probably won't get a worse deal next time around. Then the TV deals are up. They're going to find a way to really incorporate digital media rights significantly into the next TV deals. They're probably going to go up exponentially. And then gambling money is going to be monetized and be included in the pot. So I would want as many bites of the apple as possible if I'm a quarterback or a good player, just because I'll make more money in the long run. Because these contracts, I like to say, aren't worth the paper they're printed on because they're not fully guaranteed like in MLB or the NBA.
Hey, you know what? I agree with all that, and we'll see where it shakes out. One last question. Can you win with a quarterback making that much money? You know, is the model, you know, you want a rookie quarterback on a deal, on a rookie deal and build a team around you? Can you build a successful team outside of New England with a quarterback making that kind of money?
Well, we're going to find out in the next couple of years, because obviously the easiest way is cheap rookie quarterback who's good and you can amass talent. But all these rookie quarterbacks who are good, where they've been able to do that, are now going to be making a ton of money shortly. And if those teams are going to be good, it's going to be of a high-priced quarterback. The team that should have broken the model gave up a huge Super Bowl lead, Atlanta. They would have been the one with the biggest cap number or percentage of the cap from a quarterback with Matt Ryan. But it puts pressure on you to draft well. And you have to be very judicious in which players you keep, and you have to be able to get other veterans to come in on that minimum salary benefit contract where you get a break on the cap number, and you won't have a middle class when you have a high-priced quarterback for the most part. And it may affect depth, but it's more difficult, but I think it can be done.
Hey, man, we appreciate it. Drop some knowledge, give some people some good understanding of the cap and where these guys stand, what the Cowboys are going to do. We will see you again. Hopefully we'll have you on again. Again, Joel Corey, former agent, expert business guy for CBS Sports. Appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
There he goes. You can follow him at Corey Joel, CORRYJOEL. And you can find his work at CBSSports.com.